Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shir B'tochen, Shir number 36. The Chayvus Halvavus has been telling us how to apply the principle of B'tochen to all various aspects of our existence. And now he's going to address the question of reward for mitzvahs, which is a unique category with its own special concerns. One of those concerns is that the Torah seems to provide less treatment on the subject of the world to come than one would expect. And he's going to talk now of why it's not conspicuous in the Torah and the rest of Tanakh, why Olam Haba is not mentioned much. Pirish Chelek HaShishi, in the sixth part of B'tochen, B'gmul Olam Hazeh V'Olam Haba, is about the reward that we get in this world and in the next world, in the world to come. Ashiyeh Adam Roy Eloi B'masa Tei V'Olam, that a person deserves in return for all the good deeds that Hashem expected him to do in this world. There's two primary forms of reward. Gmul Olam Hazeh Bilvad, reward only in this world. Gmul Olam Haba Bilvad, and only in the next world. Sometimes you earn both rewards, both in this world and in the next world, for one deed that you do. And it's not fully explained to us how Hashem rewards us in detail. But Hashem does guarantee to his people that general reward. Nothing is ignored. You will get reward for everything. Again, we shouldn't do mitzvahs for the sake of reward, but we have to have a munah that Hashem gives us reward for everything. He also did not specify the payments of the various kinds of services in this world, as he did by the punishments. He does say in certain severe sins that you have these death penalties of stoning and burning and decapitation, strangulation, and malchus abba and mamisa v'karis, and lashes and certain death karis and so on, like for eating chametz on Pesach, eating chalev and eating blood and so on, tashlumei kefal, tashlumei bar chamisha, double fine for a theft, four or five times when you slaughter a sheep or an ox after stealing it, Nezek Asher, damage of ax, bar, v'shein, v'esh, all these different types of damages, nisim mum adam, or if you wounded a person, shachiyad ben vushav, or you embarrass someone by holding his private parts, v'amaytzi shemra, v'adayim lezeh, all these things. So all of these things were mentioned in detail. In those days, there were courts, Sanhedrins, that carried out these type of punishments. And if Beis Din did not do it, then Hashem works it out that they're punished in a different way. So someone that's liable for death by burning may be burned by fire, and so on and so forth. But Olam Haba is not mentioned at all, or is mentioned very, very little. And that's hard to understand why, if it's such a big side of our Emunah, why isn't Olam Haba mentioned? But it does have these hints mentioned. For example, V'nesati l'cha mehalcha b'ena inda me'ela, it says in Zechariah, I will let you move among the angels who stand there. It's a reference that after a person dies, he will be moving with the angels, and you'll have an existence like the angels. Zechariah was telling Yeshua, the Kohen Gadol of the Beis HaMikdash Bayisheni, that he'll have that reward. Or when Moshe Rabbeinu would pass away, V'hincha shoychev ha'mam v'isecha. You know, you will lie with your forefathers. But Moshe was not buried with his forefathers. So what do you mean, I'm going to lie with your forefathers? He was buried alone. What it means is that he will join the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, in the world to come. Or by Avraham Avinu, it says, you'll go to your forefathers. Again, he was buried in the Maris HaMachpelah, the first one. His forefathers were buried elsewhere. Like Noach and so on, they were buried elsewhere. And so on and so forth. So you see this hints to it in Bilam even. Bilam said, Tamas nafshi moishti sharam, I should die the death of an upright, v'si achrisi kamayu, and my end should be like them. He was jealous of the fact that they die and they go to Olam Haba. Like it says, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'Olam Haba. So there's many reasons why. Tells us nothing about Olam Haba, or very little. First concept is because we don't understand the concept of what a nature of a soul is without a body. Much less what pleases a soul or distresses a soul, we can't understand it. But Hashem explains to people who do understand the subject, like he said to Yahushua, HaKoyen Gadol in Zechariah, it says, B'nasadcha mahalcha meinoim the me'el, I'll let you move among the malachim, V'l'yeh'oid b'nai nash k'shur v'gufay, and his soul won't be bound by his body then, El Ramashi Eloi Achamavis, after his death, Shetoshav HaNef Shefsh, B'tzuras HaMalachim in Yipshutus HaDekusa, that his soul will return in like an angel-type form, a soul alone, B'ozvel D'shtamash B'gufa, and abandon the use of the body, when it becomes purified and radiant, with good deeds in this world. So that's one reason is because we have a hard time comprehending what the reward or pain of a soul is not attached to a body. That's why it's not mentioned much. A second reason it's not mentioned but much is we rely on Torah Shabbat Baal Peh to tell us this. It's accepted directly for the prophets, grasped by the wise, and was not mentioned in the Torah, just like it doesn't say exactly what tefillin looks like in the Torah, or what a mezuzah looks like, or any of those things. We rely on Torah Shel Baal Peh. So for Olam Haba, there's a few hints mentioned in the Torah, or in Tanakh, but the real tradition for it is Olam in Torah Shel Baal Peh. Another reason why it doesn't mention Olam Haba that much in the Torah is because Sha'am Hayim in Asichlas Amit Havana B'in Shein Enen on Elam. They have a hard time understanding. They wouldn't comprehend it. So Hashem, for many people who read the Torah, the more, you know, ones that have more simple nature, so they need to relate to Hashem and reward and punishment in a very tangible way, like a father who has pity on a small child, because she writes a lot, so Menachas of a lot, when he wants to discipline them gently and slowly, like it says, when he was young, Yisrael, and I loved him. Chashav writes a lamedes b'nei ben arus. He wants to teach his young son hachachmas hashiyal ben malamal sayoyin, this basic wisdom that he'll achieve higher knowledge from. Ashlo yivin neim hanarba isahi, but the child does not understand it yet. If you tell a young child, you know, work hard, do your mitzvahs, and I'll give you the highest levels of spirituality, like olam haba, he wouldn't comprehend it. So a lot of times, it doesn't mention Olam Haba in the Torah because for many, many people, they're not motivated by that. They don't comprehend what is it? Why that doesn't motivate me to do, yearn for such a reward because it's hard to comprehend. So therefore, the father promises the son something that will give them instant gratification, like food or drink or nice clothing or a nice wagon or like ice cream, right? Something that you can relate to. Or when you're threatening a negative thing, a punishment, it's like hunger, or you'll get hit, or something like that. The Yishu Dayt Al Mashiftach Alam in Arayis, and regardless of Eidias Egalus Amitiyos, and he'll reassure him with convincing proofs. Yochel Olizba Yigis Hamus, so it says, it'll be easy for the child to accept the strain of the discipline. In other words, he needs tangible things that he could relate to. Tangible rewards, and tangible pleasures, and tangible pain. And Olam Haba is too distinct and too far-fetched for the person to comprehend. So when he gets older in adolescence and his mind matures, then he'll understand more the discipline in the more mature way. Then his rewards won't be just for like a piece of cake or ice cream, and now he'll understand higher things. And they were just induced out of kindness. So when you're younger or the comprehend less, the rewards have to be more on a tangible thing that you could relate to. So that's why when Hashem promised reward or threatened with punishment, it's more with immediate reward and immediate punishment in a tangible way. Because he knew that as soon as they accustomed to his service, he would shake off those misconceptions. And he'll focus his service on him. The same applies to when Hashem is referred to in physical terms, like Hashem getting angry, or Hashem's hand will strike you. All of those things is for us to understand that. We know Hashem doesn't have a hand physically. Same thing over here. We know that there's reward beyond Olam Hazeh. But in the beginning, we have to train ourselves and acclimate ourselves to this more tangible way. And that's why the Torah talks about reward and punishment in a very tangible way. You'll get food, you'll have plenty, there'll be no illness, and so on and so forth. A fourth reason why the Torah does not tell us about reward and punishment is because it's really undeserved. It's beyond comprehension of what the mitzvah you do, of what Olam Haba is. He doesn't deserve it because of his good deed. But rather, it's because of these two things. Echad, number one, he teaches how to serve Hashem to do good, like it says by Daniel, he'll shine like stars forever and ever. And those who will reprove will receive the light and good blessings will come to him. And when an individual exerts himself for a mitzvah, he will be considered worthy of receiving Olam Haba. And number two is Mechesel Akim Nadav V'Taiva. It's out of Hashem's kindness and generosity and goodness that he gets Olam Haba. Like it says, the Hashem Chasid, for you it's a kindness, Kiatas Shalish Kamaseyu. But Ilazan, the reason for this is, because if a person's deed would be numerous like the sands of the sea, it would not match even a single thing, kindness that Hashem does for him in this world. How much so more so if he transgressed? So basically what he's saying over here, we're not going to read word for word here, but the idea being is that Olam Haba is not just a reward for what you do, it's beyond comprehension, way exceeding what you earned. It's infinite. So that's another reason why it's not mentioned. Another reason, a fifth reason, again, we're just going to say it outside because Rabbi Miller doesn't have a pirish on this, really, so we'll go through it quickly, is that people react to more visible, tangible things, right? Hidden things, there are hidden things, there are revealed things, and Hashem pays visible good deeds with visible rewards and hidden things with hidden rewards, which is Olam Haba, and Hashem promises that on both levels. When you do public things with your limbs, Hashem will give you schar in this world right away, like it's brought down Parshas Bechukaisai, and punishment the reverse also, and so on and so forth. So that is another reason why it doesn't mention Olam Haba, because things that are hidden in a person's heart are repaid by Hashem in the world to come primarily. So it doesn't express it. So the idea also is that Olam Haba is something that requires emuna. It's through Torah Shabbat Peh primarily. And we're addressing people of this world in this tangible world. So therefore, the Torah only focuses primarily on rewards that you could feel tangible in this world. And also, the idea is, another reason why the Torah does not tell us about reward and punishment about Olam Haba is the word of the world to come is the happiness of being attached to Hashem. Well, it's Karvel Ayre Elyon to become close to his light. And that is the key, to appreciate Hashem's light. So, to summarize all these points that we just said over here, when we speak about Olam Haba, it's impossible to understand what the reward is. What we do know is that people who gain Hashem's favor will attain a closeness to him that will be the greatest form of happiness. Tzaddikim, it says, doesn't eat and doesn't drink. They don't eat and don't drink. So when we hear this, we say, oi, they don't eat and they don't drink. That's reward. We think of pleasure with eating and drinking. But they don't eat and drink. And they sit with crowns on their heads, and they enjoy gazing the splendor of the Shekhinah. And again, we look at it, not tangible words, so what, that they have crowns on their heads? Or gazing at the splendor of the Shekhinah. What does that mean? Why does that give a person so much pleasure? You know, so we are so far removed from it that we don't even understand the brilliance and infinite pleasure that will Be'ezus Hashem give us. So that's the idea here. Moshe didn't really fully understand it while he was alive either. So he couldn't explain it to others also. Like trying to explain colors to a person that's blind. Color is meaningless. Same thing over here. How could the Torah, or Moshe Rabbeinu expressing the Torah through, you know, Hashem speaking through him, of Olam Haba, when in a body you can't really have a full understanding of what the pleasures of Olam Haba is? It's beyond our comprehension. So that is basically the idea that we need to understand here. And that to trust in the reward, like it says, Vehemim b'Hashem v'yachshev Eloi l'tzedaka, to believe in Hashem, that he counted righteousness, and he quotes Pesukim over here, that you trust Hashem that he will pay you for everything. Of course, you don't do things for the sake of reward primarily, but you have to have emunah that Hashem will give you the reward. That is really a big part of emunah, to understand that that will certainly help you greatly. So the idea is Olam Haba is synonymous with Hashem. It's a happiness that's not related to this earth. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't told what the Olam Haba looks like. We can't understand it while we're alive. All we know about Hashem is that the greatest pleasure that we have is our relationship with him and us feeling it and feeling his love. And that will be experienced in Olam Haba, Be'ezus Hashem. Bracha v'atzlacha.